Hebrews chapter 11, and our text will be found this morning in verses 8 and 9 regarding the faith of Abraham. And the title of the message this morning is The Call and Obedience of Faith. The Call and Obedience of Faith. The Scripture says, by faith, Abraham, listen, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, listen, obeyed, and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of with him of the same promise. Now, we've seen this in our study of the book of Hebrews. We have seen that Jesus is the fulfillment of all the Scriptures. Of all the Scriptures. That He is both the high priest and the offering for sin, the sins of God's people. He has by His own blood, by His own work, obtained eternal redemption for us. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Those who are chosen of God, Christ has redeemed. Those who are elect of God, Christ has sanctified. He has perfected forever by His one offering. Therefore, you who believe on Christ, you are made righteous before God. All who trust our souls to the salvation of Jesus Christ alone, you and I have been washed thoroughly, thoroughly from all our sins. All our sins. Sins past, sins present, and sins future. All washed in the blood of the Son of God. This is the eternal gospel, the covenant of grace that God purposed before the world began, that we, His holy, His people, should be holy and without blame before Him, and that by Jesus Christ we should be sons and heirs of all heavenly blessings. By the means of His death we were bought, redeemed, perfected forever, and yet in the experience of time, at the appointed time, God gave us a new birth. God gave us new life. We were born again. We by nature were born dead. But now, by the grace of God, we are quickened by the Holy Spirit. We were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, but God in grace, rich in mercy, in love, quickened us from our spiritual death to spiritual life. And what is the evidence of this election, this redemption, this quickening? What is the evidence? What is the evidence? It's important, isn't it? If you desire to know you are washed, desire you are to know you are righteous, listen, you are not going to be able to look at yourself and figure that out. You're not going to wake up in the mirror one day and say, oh yeah, look, there's a perfect man. You're not going to be able to, that's not the evidence. It'll never be the evidence. I know that's what the old man keeps trying to look for, but it will never be the evidence. The evidence, according to the Word of God, is one thing. Faith in Christ. That's the evidence. Look at that in verse 1 of 11. Now faith. Here's what it is. It's the substance. It's the foundation of things hoped for. Listen, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the grounds, the evidence of our salvation. The object of true faith is the source of all our strength, comfort, joy, and peace. It's not our faith that comforts us. It is rather the object of our faith that should comfort us. Faith itself has an object. And it is the object that is to give us the peace of understanding and knowledge that we are saved. It is the object that gives us comfort, not faith itself. We don't have faith in faith. Faith is not the grounds of our faith. Christ is the grounds of our faith. Christ is the object of our faith. And faith is the evidence that we are founded on Him. By faith, we are justified. The object of our faith, not our faith itself. The object of our faith justifies us. Now, in our study of true faith, and that's what we've been studying in Hebrews 11, the apostle is encouraging believers to continue in faith. Do you not need that? You and I need to be encouraged to continue in the faith. Now, I know this, you are a true believer, you will not draw back. I understand that. Yet, the Scriptures are clear to give us encouragement to continue in it. Because we are oppressed, we are afflicted, we are troubled on every side. And it doesn't stop. How many of us think that, well, if I can just get over this thing, then. No, there's no then. There's going to be then another wave. There's going to be then another trouble. There's going to be then another difficulty. There is no getting over this. What gets us through this is faith in Christ. That's what pulls us. That's what strengthens us against the waves, against the trouble, against the difficulty, against what we see and feel and think. Faith in Christ is the weapon, is the shield that quenches all the darts of our enemy. Faith in Christ. And so then in our study in true faith, and that's what we've been studying, the apostle says these elders, look at that, he said, for by faith the elders, verse 2, obtained a good report. These elders that went before us are examples. Examples given to us in order to teach us something about faith. Something about faith. What true saving faith is. Because I have a desire to know I have true saving faith. I don't want to just have any old faith. There's a lot of faith running around in the world, isn't there? A lot of different beliefs. But I don't want to be deceived. I want to know if my faith is genuine. If my faith is the real deal, because my soul hangs in the balance here. If my faith is not real, then I have no hope. If your faith is not real, you have no hope. I want to know. And so how can I know? Because there's other men who have obtained a good report. And this report is not of men, but of God. Now, that's a report I want to know about. I want to know who obtained a good report concerning faith according to God. Because that's really the only one that counts. My opinion about your faith and your opinion about my faith just don't matter. Matter of fact, I don't know. I've had men ask me, well, am I a true... I don't know. I can't tell you. Matter of fact, I want to make sure my calling and election sure. I can't look into your heart and tell you what you are, what you're not, but I can tell you by Scripture what it is. And then you take your faith and compare it to Scripture. You compare it to these men and see if your faith matches. Because they obtained a good report of God. And if they obtained a good report and my faith is identical to theirs, then I've got a good report. And I've got true faith. So that's what he does with all of these men. He's not highlighting the men. He's highlighting their faith and the aspects, the different aspects and benefits of true faith. Now Abel, he said, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Who witnessed it? God testifying. You see that? God testifying that he was righteous. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. Even so, we by faith who trust in Christ, the perfect offering, are accepted of God, and we too obtain a good report from God. If Christ is your offering, then you have this, you're righteous. And I didn't say it. Now, if I said it to you, it don't matter. If God says it, then it matters. It's true. If Christ is your offering, then you too, like Abel. Enoch, he said he walked with God. He walked with God. He pleased God. How? By faith. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not taste death, for he was not found, because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. Whose testimony? God's. He pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. And then Noah, we read of him. Noah, by faith, Noah. Last week we did this one. Remember, it was the cause of Noah's faith. What was the cause of Noah's faith? Noah found grace in the eyes of God. So what's the cause of your faith? Is it grace or is it works? Noah obtained a good report from God, and his faith was by grace. So is that yours? Then you got a good report. What was the concern of Noah's faith? Judgment. Remember, God warned him of those the judgment to come. Is that not the concern of your faith? Were you not concerned about your sin and condemnation before God? And what was the consequence of this faith? He prepared an ark. What's the consequence of true faith? We come to Christ. That's the consequence of true faith. And what's the conclusion of true faith? He was righteous. You see? This is our faith. Is that your faith? He obtained a good report. And if that's your faith, you obtain a good report. And so now we come down to this one. We come down to this one. Abraham. Abraham. Now we know this, that Abraham, he too obtained faith by the grace of God. We live in such a crooked and perverse generation that believes faith is some product of man's will. That God's grace is somehow common to all men and Christ's blood is commonly shed for all men, and somehow man must exercise will in order to obtain faith. But God is very clear in His speech that no man can come to Christ except God draw him. That's just plain Scripture. If any man will come to Christ by faith, God Himself must draw him. He must employ the same power that it took to raise Christ from the dead. So your salvation, this matter of your faith is no mere act of will. At least not your will. It is an act of will. It's just not yours. It's God's. God's will. Faith in Christ is a product of God's will, of Christ's blood, and of the Holy Spirit's quickening power. So then, true faith in Christ is always, always redounds to the glory of God. For the Scripture has said this, "Thy people shall be willing." You see, I was not willing to believe on Christ alone. I was willing to believe Christ plus something. I was always willing to do that. I was always willing to be Christ plus my work, Christ plus my will. I was always willing for that. But I was not willing to see that I was totally, absolutely, and completely depraved without hope. But in the day of His power, thy people shall be willing. When? In the day of thy power. In the beauty of holiness. What is that? That is the revelation of the gospel. Christ is the beauty of holiness. From the womb of the morning, that is the new birth. So now then, we'll see by Abraham's faith that though our salvation was purposed of God, our redemption accomplished through Christ, and we were predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, yet we all must experience this. We all must believe. We all must come to Christ. This is not an ambiguous thing. This is not a thing that is a perhaps or peradventure or maybe. Jesus said this, "All that the Father giveth me," you listen, shall come to me. Shall come to me. They all will come to Christ. But how? This matter of faith, this matter of coming to Christ, we know it is by the power of God. But how will God bring us to faith? How will this faith come? And so as you examine your faith this morning, you want to look at Abraham's faith and you want to see if your faith matches his. How did you come to faith? To whom will this faith come? Look at your text. By faith, Abraham, when he was what? Called. There you go. Called. This is how faith comes. By a calling. A calling. Our Lord, or the Apostle, if you go over to Romans, you can read it with me, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 28. We know this very well. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Well, who are those that love God? Here they are. To them who are the called according to His purpose. The salvation of God's people is not an accident. It's on purpose. God's purpose. And who are these that God purposed? Listen. For whom He did foreknow, He elected. He also did predestinate. He purposed to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also what? Called. So everyone that God chose, everyone that Christ died for, you listen. It is the purpose of God that they all be called. Called. Abraham. Now Abraham, our example here, was no different than any other man by nature. Matter of fact, he was probably worse. He was a pagan. He was raised in Ur of the Chaldees. He worshipped the gods of his fathers. And he did not know the true and living God until he was 75 years old. 75 years he had lived in paganism, worshiping idols, statues of wood and stone. And yet we read this in his experience in Genesis chapter 12. It says, "Now the Lord said unto Abram." Let me ask you, who called who? Who sought who in this scenario? We know this, the Lord called Abram. Abraham did not seek after God. He did not know God before God called him. And you pay close attention. If God had never spoken to Abraham, he never would have known God. Is that ringing any bells? Is that hitting close to home? If your faith is true faith, you have this too. You understand this. Had God not called me, I never would have called Him. Had he not revealed himself to me, I never would have sought him. God, if God does not seek you and reveal himself to you, then you will never be able to know him and you will never be saved. You see, salvation comes by a calling. It is not a human calling. It is a divine calling. A divine calling. The apostle says, "We are bound, brethren, to give thanks always to God for you, beloved of the Lord, for God hath chosen you before the foundation of the world." Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, which you were called by our gospel. You were called by our gospel. Salvation, then, is by divine calling. This surely is offensive to the natural man, yet the Word of God is clear by this example of Abraham, as well as the declaration of many Scripture. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. The Scriptures are plain. Let a man be so brilliant, wise, zealous, earnest, sincere as a man could possibly be in the flesh. Let him desire as much as he will by all his natural senses and abilities to know God. And he will never find out God if God does not reveal himself to man. This is because man is by nature at enmity against God. Man hates God. And I tell you, the proof of this is when men reject what I just said. You reject what I just said, you reject Holy Scripture because you hate God. You despise God. I tell you of Christ, I tell you of His perfect work, I tell you of His salvation, that it is of God, and yet you still will not let go of your works, your will, and your religion. Why? Because you are at enmity against God. You won't let it go because God hasn't spoken to you. It is a sobering thing, but it is true. If God leaves a man alone, he will die in his sins. But I tell you this, he is doing exactly what a man wants him to do. Man says, God to God, that kind of God, leave me alone. I'll have nothing to do with that man. I'll have nothing to do with an absolute God. I don't want anything, I don't even want any part of it. And God leaves you to yourself. You'll die in your sins. Unless God opens your eyes and speaks to you, speaks life into your soul, you will never know Him, nor will you know His salvation. Now we know that God spoke to Abraham in a very unique way. Audibly. That's all we've got. God spoke to Abraham audibly. Now, at the very beginning of the book of Hebrews in our study, we know this. God at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. He spake to them in many different ways. He used types and shadows and pictures of the law and the testimony and the tabernacle and the sacrifices and the priests. Those spoke. God spoke by that. That was the gospel. But he also spoke to them in audible sense, in visions and in dreams. Some of these old saints saw dreams and visions. They heard his voice. They saw the shadows and types. But now God speaks by different... He spoke by different experiences then. But I tell you that there was a common thread to every time God spoke to a man. Every time God called a man, it was the same message. It was the same message and the same means. It may have been a different experience. In other words, like your experience and mine. That God called us. It was different than Paul's, wasn't it? He had a different experience, an outward experience. He was actually writing, and the Lord actually appeared to him in person. But listen, when the Lord came to you, you may not have saw him physically, but you may not have heard him audibly, but I'll tell you this, you heard the same message Paul heard. I am the Lord whom thou persecutest. I am the Lord. Isn't that the message you heard from Christ? I am the Lord. I am the Son of God. I am God manifest in the flesh. You hear the same message, and it's the same means. You hear it. You hear it. Faith cometh how? By hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Now the message that God speaks in the hearts of all men is this, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Abraham was told the gospel. He was spoken to when God called him. He called him by promises. Isn't that what he said? He said, get thee out from thy country and I will show thee a land. I will make thee a great nation. And thy seed shall be blessing to all the earth. He made him a promise. A promise. Isn't that what the gospel is? The promise of God? It is the promise of God. And here is the promise of God to all that God reveals himself. He said, I will show thee a land. You who have heard the gospel, is that not what God showed you? This world and this flesh is nothing but vanity. That's what God shows us. The pleasures of the flesh are like chasing the wind. Like chasing the wind. There's no fulfillment. There's no joy. No lasting peace. No satisfaction. Only an empty longing for more. That's what the Lord showed us. He showed us the vanity of this land. Of this flesh. And so men try religion. He seeks to do better, live a nobler and higher life. He changes his habits. He becomes moral and religious. This too is vanity and vexation of spirit. For how can a man who is a sinner ever strive enough to please God? If God will ever speak to you, He will first reveal to you something about your need. You see, Abraham, he revealed that his land was not enough. And God said, I'm going to show you a land that's enough. I'm going to show you a place that's perfect. And not only show it to you, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you. Abraham's father had just died when God called him. He saw that he too would soon lie cold in the grave. He was made to know by the revelation of God that his gods were not enough. Isn't that what God showed you? That your gods were not enough? That your works were not enough? That your ability was not enough? Your religion was not enough? But here is the God of heaven and earth, the creator and sustainer of all things. And He will show you a land of promise. He will reveal to you how such a sinner as you are may inherit a kingdom of eternal life and glory. Is that what God showed you? It's what He showed Abraham. He said, I'm going to show you a land, a perfect land. Isn't that what the next few scriptures are going to tell us? That Abraham looked for a city. Why? Because God promised him one. God promised him one. And He said, I'm going to make of thee a great nation. See, sinner, God must make us what we are not. When God calls you, He's going to reveal to you a promise. I'm going to make you something that you're not. Abraham was childless. His wife was barren. And he could never make a great nation. He could never be a great nation. Yet this was the promise of God. In thee, in thy seed, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Behold then the promise of God, sinners. You, in your own, in yourself, are only a great curse. We are so wicked and vile that all we could deserve is cursed. That's all we could do. But do you desire to be a blessing instead of a curse? Do you long to be received and accepted of God who is holy? Then God must make you something that you are not. By nature, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. God said in Isaiah 57, I will declare thy righteousness and thy works. What is it? When God declares your righteousness and your works, listen, this is what God says, for they shall not profit thee. That's what I declare about your righteousness and your works. God gives us a clear view of what our righteousness does. Nothing but curse. Nothing but condemn. But see how God will make the sinner something that he's not by nature. He will create a new nature. This is what God does when He calls a man. He shows him Christ. He promises him that he will be a great nation. And we, like Abraham, are barren. We're fruitless. We can't be a great nation in ourselves. We have no power, no ability to be a great nation. God, how is it that you will make us a blessing and not a curse? How is it that we shall be a great people? Thy seed. In the seed, which is Christ. He must make us something that we are not. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. This cannot be done. For the day a righteous man sinneth, he is forever a transgressor. But here is the hope for the sinner, that whosoever God calls to life and faith in Christ, He makes righteous. Makes righteous. The Scripture says we are created in Him. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. If God, this salvation, God doesn't use the old man, isn't that wonderful? He doesn't use the old man in any part of this. He doesn't make the old man better. He creates a new man and imputes it and imparts it to us by His power. If God predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son, who is the righteousness of God, it stands to reason, and especially concerning the promise of God, that all He had called to this state, He'll bring to it. He'll bring to it. Behold the greatness then of Christ's victory, of His righteousness, which He obtained by His faith and obedience to the law of God as a man. This He did so as to obtain the righteousness of God as a representative for us. And therefore, God willing to make His sons to be conformed to His image, He now, through the calling of grace to the sinner, gives life and faith as He did Abraham. He called Abraham. He showed Abraham. He made Abraham something he wasn't. How? Through Christ. He called Abraham to faith in Christ. When this word of God came to Abraham, he said, I'm going to be thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. The word of the Lord came to him, and He said, this man that's in your house is not going to be your heir, but there's one that's going to be your heir, thy seed. Thy seed. He said, so shall thy seed be as the stars of the heavens. And Abraham, listen, believed in the Lord. And He counted it to him for righteousness. Have you been called of God like Abraham? Have you been called to faith in the seed, in the promise, to lay hold by faith in something that you have not yet seen? Christ. That's a divine calling. That's one who has true faith. And as sure as Abraham heard the voice of God, even so does His word now speak to you. Behold the seed. You have no righteousness. Behold, there is an heir, which is Christ the Lord. The righteousness of God. And this righteousness is imputed and imparted to all who believe. Now Abraham believed God, and the righteousness of Christ was given to him. Even so it is with us who are called of God. This call of God by Abraham, it was a direct speaking of God to him. But I tell you this morning, God is directly speaking to you by His Word. God is directly speaking to you by His Word. You see, when Abraham first received this calling, Christ had not yet come. But now that Christ has come, you have a clearer word than Abraham. You have a clearer word than Abraham. Christ has come. Abraham only had this, in thy seed. That's all he had. That was the message God gave him. And Abraham, he cleaved to it with all of his soul. Jesus said this. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it. And was glad. How did he see it? By the hearing of faith. He heard God's word. He heard His promise of Christ. And he believed. But I tell you, you've got a more clear revelation than Abraham had. Jesus Christ, the seed, has come. He has already fulfilled all the promises of God. All the Scriptures of God. God has sent forth His Son into this world, and now He sends forth His servants. And His servants are His ambassadors. I am an ambassador of Christ, and do beseech you by Him, be ye reconciled to God. For God hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Do you believe on the Son? Do you believe on the Son? God has sent forth His men into all the world to preach the gospel that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Do you believe? the gospel. Now we know that God has a people. I know God has an elect people. I know Christ has died for them. And they are just as sure for glory as if they were already there. But I also know this, there is a means by which God will use to save them. And it is through preaching this gospel. He will call you by our gospel. I know people say, well, there's got to be some other way. Nope. Well, you're just too narrow-minded. Well, so is the Word of God, so I think I'll take that. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing, not just by any means, but by the Word of God. This is why God calls men to preach. This is why God has sent His church into the world. If there was some other way, God would have done it. This is the best way. This is the only way. This is the way God calls His people, through the preaching of the gospel. Our gospel is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The seed upon which Abraham believed, Jesus said, Abraham, rejoice to see my day, and saw it. How did he see it? By faith. Now, I don't know who God's elect are. I don't know. I don't know how many God has in this generation. Maybe this is it. Maybe there are more. I don't know. But I do know this. They will be called by this means. They will be called by the gospel. The apostle says, the Lord sent me not to baptize. He said that in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us it is the power which are saved. It is the power of God. Why? Because this is what we've experienced. This is the experience of our grace. That the Word came to us. And it came not in word only, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. It quickened us to life, and we believe on Christ. We believe on Christ. There is none called, none saved, none blessed by any false gospel, but rather only the preaching of the true gospel. God never uses false prophets. I know we get discouraged. You see the vastness of false religion. You see how large it is. You see how powerful it seems. You seem as though, it seems though it's like a steamroller. It just rolls over everything. It just seems like it envelops everything and sucks everything into it. Listen, that has nothing to do with God's people. It does nothing for the salvation of sinners. I don't care what they do. If they don't preach the gospel of Christ and salvation by grace through faith in Christ alone, they are not preaching the gospel and no one saved by it. I don't care how big they are. I don't care how much money they have, how much influence they have in the world. God never uses a false prophet. Matter of fact, told Jeremiah that in Jeremiah, I believe, 23. He says, they will not profit this people, listen, at all. At all. So how then does God call sinners? Well, He seeks them out by divine calling. And then He calls them through the means of preaching the gospel. This is how He calls. That's how He called Abraham. He called him by preaching to him Christ. And Abraham, listen, Secondly, true faith then obeys. Obeys. Look at your text. Go back there. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out of the place which he should hereafter receive for an inheritance, listen, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Abraham was called to an inheritance and he obeyed. Friends, the gospel of Jesus Christ is no offer but a command. I know when it comes to the sinner, it is full of grace and love and power and mercy. It is dripping with the love of God. It is gushing from the heart of God when it comes to us. But I tell you, it is no offer. It's a command. The Lord said unto Abram, get thee out. Not Abraham, will you get out? Abraham, get thee out. And I will show thee and make thee and bless thee. All that God has purposed to do for His elect, He will do and does not leave it up to them or their power to perform it. Our God is in the heavens and hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. He said, remember, I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times the things that were not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Now then, when God calls a sinner to Christ, is it an option? Let me ask you who believe. Was it an option for you? No. Absolutely not. I didn't know much and I still don't know much. But I know this. I must have Christ or I die. When God calls you, you'll understand that. And you won't sit still either until you have Him. Until you have Him. Until you're in Him. Coming to Christ is not an option. Are you weighing out the pros and cons of coming to Christ? That's what most people do, isn't it? Is, well, if I come to Jesus, then I got eternal life, and I got heaven, and I got the golden brick road, and I got the mansion in the sky, and then oh, but over here, you know, I got these people. I love my sin. I'm weighing it out, Lord. Just give me a minute. Oh no, God's never called you. God's not calling you. When God calls you, you have no options. When God calls a sinner, he's empty. He has no hope. And he runs to Christ for his very life. He flees to Christ. When we were called, we were abased, we were ruined, we were vile, and we could not even look up. We were so sick with sin and self-loathing and no merit, and yet the gospel came so sweetly to our ears. Come, sinner. Come, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. And we what? We came to Christ, ready, willing, able, bowing to Christ. That's a man called of God, a man who obeys the gospel. What is the gospel? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Not an option. When Ezekiel preached to those dry bones, were they given an option? No. When he preached, the Spirit of God moved. The bones came together, flesh came upon them, and breath came in them, without so much as one thing they could do to either resist or help. That's true faith. True faith believes even before it knows it's believing. Is that your faith? Oh, that's mine. That's mine. I've been called. How do you know you've been called of God? I obeyed the voice of the Son of God. Paul says this, "What things were gained to me I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count presently all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through faith, the faith of Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now have you the faith of Abraham? I tell you of God's promise to make you righteous. I tell you that faith in Christ alone saves. But if God tells it to you, you will believe. You will believe. Sinner, death is coming. Death is coming. It is. It's moving. It's moving at a steady pace. Nothing stops it. It's coming. It's moving towards you every second of every day. And only those in Christ will live. If you will not obey the gospel, that's your fault. But if you ever obey the gospel, that will be God's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Marvelous. Have you fled to Christ? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Abraham believed, and he went. I believe, and I come to Christ. And I haven't stopped. Why? Because I'm encouraged to continue in the faith. And true faith will continue. Firm to the end. Not trusting faith, but trusting Christ, the object of our faith. God bless us to you. Stand, be dismissed in prayer.